time. That hasn't been done since...
That's all well and good, Trumbull interrupted. But neither you nor any of the other news vets are going to get our VR footage. Not unless you come up with 500 mil.
Newell shook his head.
He had been against the idea of a primetime special about the Martian village, but the suits upstairs had ignored his advice. Science shows get no audience, Newell knew. Well, maybe this special about the Martian building would do better than most, but still, everybody's seen all the regular footage already. The building doesn't do anything. It just sits there, an empty shell. It'll be talking heads, with some of them inside spacesuit helmets, so we won't even be able to see their faces, for God's sake.
Of course, Trumbull said slowly, reaching for his drink. Once we've shown the VR stuff to our own customers, it might be possible to work out a deal for the first network broadcast of the material.
Newell immediately leaned closer to the older man.
How much?
Trumbull sipped thoughtfully at his scotch, smacked his lips once, and replied,
Global News offered me $95 million this afternoon. Can you top it?
Harry Farber's nose was practically touching his phone screen. He could see his own reflection in the screen, superimposed on the dumb schmuck of a manufacturer's rep from Minneapolis. Harry was sweating, red-faced, grimacing.
We can't keep 'em in the stores, he was almost screaming. They're selling 'em so fast we blew out the inventory program this morning.
Well, that's wonderful, Mr. Farber, said the dumb schmuck.
You know, all our retailers are reporting the same kind of sales. Virtual reality sets are disappearing from the shelves all over the world.
Yeah, but I need another 6 gross, and I need 'em now.
The manufacturer's rep seemed only mildly distressed.
Mr. Farber, he said with a rueful little smile, if only you knew how many times I've heard that same request over the past few days.
But I need 'em, Farber insisted. I got customers waiting in the store right now.
He waved a hand in the general direction of the line of increasingly impatient customers standing by the service desk.
And you'll get them, Mr. Farber. Just as fast as we can get them to you.
How soon?
When?
The manufacturer's rep glanced down, probably at some schedule or invoice.
1 week to 10 days, Mr. Farber.
A week? Are you nuts? The show from Mars is going to be aired tomorrow. From Mars!
It's the best I can do, Mr. Farber, said the rep with a sad little shake of his head.
Since they discovered that village, or whatever it is up there on Mars, everybody wants to buy a virtual reality rig.
The studios.
In television studios all across the world, the stunning news of the structure on Mars set off a frenzy of talk.
Tomorrow, definitely, said the sweet-faced, gray-haired lady. She was squinting slightly, unaccustomed to the TV lighting.
Jesus will return to Earth tomorrow, the interviewer asked, trying to hide his incredulity.
It's Christmas. His birthday.
The interviewer tried to look sympathetic. He'd seen his share of weirdos and religious fanatics over the years. Inwardly, he sighed. As long as this grandmother stuck to her specific prediction of Christ's return to Earth on Christmas Day, she was worth rating points. Today, at least. In a nearly invisible receiver lodged in his left ear, he heard the prompt from the show's director, a hard-edged black woman whose job depended on those rating points. He repeated the question she gave him.
Our Lord left the earth more than 2,000 years ago. Just where has he been all this time?
On Mars, of course, said the grandmother with a beatific smile. He's been waiting for us to find him on Mars.
This is nothing less than mind-blowing, said the astronomer.
He was young, bearded, wearing faded chinos and a red checkered flannel shirt. It was cold in the unheated observatory, even with the California sun beaming out of a pristine blue sky. The TV cameraman was shivering noticeably. The interviewer hoped it wouldn't jitter the picture. She was made of sterner stuff. No matter how chilled she felt, she controlled herself absolutely.
You mean finding the buildings on Mars, she prompted.
Finding intelligent life, the young astronomer beamed.
Intelligent! On our next-door neighbor in space.
So what does this mean to our viewers?
The astronomer looked squarely into the camera lens.
It means that not only life, but intelligence is probably commonplace in the universe. We're not alone. Intelligence may be as common as carbon or water. There are probably zillions of intelligent civilizations out there among the stars.
Now the interviewer shuddered, despite herself. The president of the Navajo Nation blinked, unaccustomed to the glare of the television lights. Last time he'd been on TV was when the FBI made a drug bust on reservation territory without letting the reservation police force in on it. Claimed the Navajo police might have tipped off the suspects. Ha! It had taken a lot of lawyers from the people and from Washington to straighten that one out. Now, at least, this story today was a happy one. The reporter stuck a microphone under the president's chin and asked, "How do you feel about a Navajo discovering this cliff dwelling on Mars?" The president shrugged and nodded. Then he said, "Pretty good, I guess." The reporter waited for more. When it didn't come, he scowled slightly and asked, "What can you tell us about Dr. Waterman?" The president thought about that for a while. The reporter ground his teeth in silent frustration, hoping they'd have time back at the studio to edit these maddening pauses out of the tape. "I never met Jamie Waterman," the president answered at last. "I knew his grandfather pretty good, though. Al ran a shop over in Santa Fe for many years." "Yes, so we heard," the reporter sputtered. "But about Jamie Waterman, the scientist on Mars?" "He's only half Navajo, you know," said the president slowly. Then he smiled. "But I guess that's good enough, huh?" The reporter grimaced. He'd spent half the damn day getting all the way out here for this interview, and all he was getting from it was shit. Hodell Richards smiled with visible self-satisfaction. "Maybe now they'll believe me." Richards was a lean, almost ascetic-looking man with the kind of perpetually youthful face that made elderly women want to mother him. Pencil-thin mustache, ash-blonde hair worn long enough to reach the collar of his tweed jacket. He sat in a TV studio in England, an expensive leather attaché case resting on his knees, his hands atop it. His interviewer was an intense-looking red-headed woman who specialized in UFO tales of alien abduction and unspeakable medical procedures. She asked, "Then you firmly believe that the Martians are not extinct, that they still exist?" "I have proof of it," Richard said, drumming his fingertips on the attaché case. "And they have visited Earth?" the interviewer asked. "They have a base here on Earth," Richards replied, "in Tibet." "But why? They're here to propagate their own species. They impregnate Earth women and force them to bear Martian children." "Aha," said the interviewer. In Barcelona, the Swiss-German self-styled space expert cocked a haughty eyebrow at his interviewer, a world-weary, overweight Catalan who thought of himself as an investigative reporter. Since the interviewer spoke no German and the interviewee spoke no Spanish, they conducted their show in English. Subtitles on the screen translated instantly, of course. "Then it is your belief that the Martian village is bogus," said the expert flatly. "You mean it is all a lie?" "Yes, a lie conducted by the American NASA." "But why would they lie about this?" "To get popular support for their space explorations, of course." The interviewer considered this for a fraction of a second, then asked, "Yet I was under the impression that the expedition to Mars was funded by private sources, not by the NASA." The expert dismissed that idea with a snort. "That's what they want us to believe. The U.S. government is behind it all." "But how can they fake a building on Mars? Are you saying that the explorers built it themselves? After all, there are only 8 of them on Mars." "And what makes you think that this fake village is on Mars? They built it in Arizona, or Texas, or someplace like that."
"Truly?"
"Of course."
"I want to stress," said the professor to the Tonight Show host, "that we don't know anything at all about how the Martians looked." Behind him were lurid paintings of space aliens. "Nothing at all?" the host asked, smirking. "Nothing. They might have had 12 legs or none. We just don't know."
So they probably didn't look like this guy then, the host pointed to an ethereal